And we give the Lord praise.
Amen.
And we thank God for soldiers in the battle. Amen.
That's right. That's right.
And we have, of course, these fine men here on the roster and all of these who serve together with us in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. We're just blessed to have good help.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Amen. God has not left us to stand alone.
That's right.
But has given us exactly what we need to carry out his promises.
Yes.
Amen. Having said that, just before we take up our text for today, Brother Brown stood at the sacred desk on Father's Day for us, for our first
Amen.
Father's Day, and we thank God for him and his efforts and the blessing that I heard that came from the message, and everyone was blessed. And not only that, but he also has provided us with a photo of the men for Father's Day. Amen. And we have this available. We want to make this available. I'm going to ask one of the brothers to come up here and take these and see to it that each of you, I'm going to keep one, but I'll give the others so he can pass them out among the brethren and sisters there in the church. Amen. Just something to commemorate that special day. Amen. And we do thank Brother Brown for standing here. This is an awesome place to stand. And I thank God for preparing him and men like Brother G to stand here and tell the story. Amen.
Amen.
See, I don't know if we got these around. That one didn't look too good there. I'm going to give you this one. Okay. Amen. And there may be copies of the lesson there. Someone may have out there. If you don't have one, I don't know if we made enough extra copies. But in case you didn't get a copy, we'd like to call your attention to a text in the Old Testament to start with. And this will be in the book of Genesis in chapter number 18. Okay, and I'm going to ask that these young men behind me here will each take one of these, old and new, and read for us today as we stand to hear the reading of God's Word. I'd like to ask for Brother G to read for us the Old Testament scripture, which is Genesis 18, verses 9 through 15. And then Brother Brown will read our New Testament text, which is found in Romans chapter 9, verses 1 to 9. Amen. We ask that you give them your undivided attention.
And they said unto him, Where is Sarah thy wife? And he said, Behold, in the tent. And he said, I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life. And lo, thy wife shall have a son. And Sarah heard it in the tent, which was behind him. Now Abraham and Sarah were old and well stricken in age, and it ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. Therefore Sarah laughed within herself, saying, I am waxed old. Shall I have pleasure, my Lord being old also? And the Lord said unto Abraham, Wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying, Shall I have of a surety bear a child which I am old? Is anything too hard for God? Excuse me. As the time appointed, I will return unto thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son.
Mm-hmm.
Since then Sarah denied, saying, I laughed not, for she was afraid.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, Nah, but thou didst laugh.
Amen. May the Lord bless the reading and hearing of the Old Testament scripture.
Amen, amen.
And now for the New Testament scripture reading.
Romans 9:1, it says, I say the truth in Christ, and I lie not, my conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost, that I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart. For I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh, who are Israelites, to whom pertaineth the adoption and the glory and the covenant and giving of the law and the service of God and the promises, whose are the fathers, and of whom also concerning the flesh Christ came, who is over all. God blessed forever. Amen. Not as though the word of God hath taken none effect, For they are not all Israel, which are Israel. Neither, because they are the seed of Abraham, are they all children. In Isaac shall thy seed be called. That is, that they which are the children of the flesh, these are not the children of God, but the children of the promise are counted for the seed. For this is the word of promise. At this time will I come, and Sarah shall have a son.
Amen.
Amen.
May God add a blessing to the reading and the hearing and the doing of his holy word.
Yes.
You may be seated in the presence of the Lord.
Amen.
And let us have a word of prayer. Eternal God, we bless you and thank you, Father, for this awesome word, Father.
Yes, Lord.
We just thank you so much, Lord God, just for being who you are, God. We thank you, O God, that you revealed yourself to us, such as us. O Lord, you didn't have to do it, but you chose to do it even before you created the world.
Yes, Lord.
That you would bless these, that those that have trusted in your Son, that they might be saved. And so, Father, we thank you for ears to hear, O God, and we ask that you plow up the fallow ground, Lord, that's sometimes trodden down by everyday life, O God, by the assaults of false teachers and prophets, O God, that have spoke things into our minds, God, that may not jibe exactly with your word, Lord. And so, Father, we pray you break up the fallow ground, Lord. Let the seed be received up on good soil today. Father, we pray that you protect us even from the wicked one that would attempt to come and steal away the seed. Oh God, and then we asked, oh God, that you plow up our stony hearts, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
That your word might be just planted deeply within us, oh God.
Yes.
That today somebody here, Father, who came that did not have ears to hear can hear what the Spirit said to the churches.
Yes, Lord.
And we just thank you for this word today, Father.
Thank you, Father.
We thank you for the privilege to come into your house, oh God, and to be called by your name.
Yes.
Lord, because we know that without you we would not be worthy. But you have made it possible, God, that wretches such as us might be able to come in and be fed with your word, O God, and transformed to the image of your Son from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Bless us today, God, that we might hear a new word, God. Nothing that is new to you, O God, because this is the ancient word spoken from eternity. But to us, that it might be fresh and new, God, and create in us a clean heart and renewing us a right spirit, O God. We bless you now. We ask you to bless your word as it goes forth, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. As you know, we are sojourning through the book of Romans, and it has been a blessing to me. We picked it up right in that eighth chapter with a brief review in chapter 7. And now today we arrive in chapter 9. Amen. And this is a very special portion of Scripture. And something that we are going to just relish over the next few months here. It's going to take us a while to get through because there's a reason for that, and that is because individuals, and this is one thing that used to stump me when I first got into Christ. God made me understand the gospel first, and that was important because no one can be saved apart from the gospel. But I kept on hearing in the word people talking about Israel, and I'm thinking, and maybe you're like that. Maybe you're somewhere in your trek with God here, and you wonder, why does the Bible always talking about Israel, and how does Israel affect me? These are the kind of things I used to wonder. What's up with Israel? You know, I would see so much in the Word about Israel, talking about Israel, and I had to understand that. And so this lesson in this next few chapters here actually is going to help us understand our relationship with what Israel means and why is it important. Why should I even consider Israel at all? What is the importance or the significance of it? Pretty much of the church today doesn't even discuss or talk much about the relationship with Israel. You hear all kinds of messages, but it's very, very crucial that you and I understand about Israel and the relationship that Israel has with God, and what does that have to do with us since we're Gentiles? We are not Jews. You know, we weren't born of the seed of Abraham by the flesh. So how does that affect me? That's the question that's going to be underneath these next few lessons. And I want to help you understand that because it's very important. Just what is, I asked this question, just what is that that causes an individual to be listed in one of the two groups that divide all of humanity? You know, there are only two groups in all of humanity,
that's right,
as far as God is concerned. That is the saved and the lost. You are in one of those two groups.
Amen.
No matter who you are, it doesn't make any difference what you ascribe to or what you believe or what kind of doctrine that you have heard. You are in one group or the other. Either you are saved or you are lost. So there's two groups. Jesus said in Matthew 12:30, he that is not with me is against me, and he who does not gather with me scattereth abroad. So he divided humanity into two groups. Either you're with me and you're saved, or you're against me and you're lost. And I even run into folks who say, well, you know, I haven't decided, I'm on the fence. Well, the fence is lost. Everybody on the fence is lost, because Jesus said, if you're not with me, then what? You're against me. So don't make any difference what you think. You might think you're on the fence. Jesus thinks you're lost.
Amen.
And he doesn't want you to be lost. That's the whole sad part about that. He loves you, and he was crucified for you. Got up out of the grave to prove that he had defeated death. And he did it for you. He didn't need to do it for himself. So if you haven't chosen him, then you have chosen to be lost. And so that's very simple. Now here we have in our text here. So I wanted to ask that. What is that dividing line between the two groups in humanity? Keep that in mind. And when you're saved, what are you saved from? You're saved from the wrath and the judgment of Almighty God. God has promised wrath and judgment to all who are not saved eventually. Okay, and he has promised blessing and security to everyone who is saved.
Amen.
So there's two different groups there, and you fall in one or the other. So now keep in mind, this is the part that makes this so interesting to me. This is written by the Apostle Paul. He is a Jew. He's been a Jew from birth. He was a Jew born of a Jewish family. He came up in Judaism. He says, I was circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews. In Philippians, he says that. So his pedigree was he was Jewish. But keep this in mind, he was in that category of the lost.
Yes, he was.
And being Jewish did not make him saved.
Amen.
Okay? Did not make him saved. He was Jewish, but he was lost. Once Messiah had been revealed, and he rejected him and went out to persecute the church, he was lost.
Yes.
Because now God had revealed something. And we're going to have to take a slight tour just a little bit forward to help me cement this in. Now, we're not going to preach this today, but I'm going to tell you, Romans 10:1 says this, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved.
Amen. Amen.
For I bear them record that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. For they being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Gentile. See, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, just as it is written, for the just shall live by faith. So Paul there says he understands that the Jews who have rejected Christ are not saved. You have to understand that. So what is our, why do we care so much about Israel? Why does God care so much about Israel? Why is Israel even still there? We have some people in the church, supposedly today, you notice I have to say supposedly, who teach replacement theology, that the church has replaced Israel. No. Wrong answer. We want to talk about that. Israel has not been replaced. That's why they're still there. Israel itself, the nation, is so tiny, I think you can put 20 of them in the state of California. It's the most contested little piece of real estate on the planet. But it's the place that God has chosen. And all these other nations, it'll fit in the United States hundreds of times.
Right.
You see? So why is Israel such a big deal? Why does God have his focus set on little old Israel?
Come on.
How is this person now who is now converted? We know the Apostle Paul didn't stay lost. Isn't it a great thing that you can be lost, but you don't have to stay?
Amen. Amen.
You can turn around right now and start and get on Jesus' team and walk with him and be saved. You don't have to do it. You don't have to stay lost.
That's right.
You can stop being lost right now if you're hearing this message. You can turn around and trust Christ and be saved.
Amen.
That's the good news. Mm-hmm. And the writer of this is the one who makes you understand that even more. Mm-hmm. Here it is. Paul hated the church, yes, even though he was steeped in Judaism. Mm-hmm. He understood the Bible like the back of his hand, knew the verses by heart. Mm-hmm. But he did not know the person who wrote the book.
That's right. Amen.
He had no personal relationship with God. He went through the motions and he went and did the rituals and he was at the temple and he kept all the ceremonies and the feast and all of that, but he was not saved.
Amen. Amen.
So he understands this. And it really breaks his heart, actually. Now, once he is saved and he looks at the fate of the covenant people, let's see, it's going to come out right in the text. I don't have to do any more than just read the text. Now, let's look at the heart of Paul first. We're going to cut to the chase here as we look at this lesson today. I'm going to use for a topic faith in the promises of God.
Amen.
That's what it requires for us to be saved. Mm-hmm. Also, this will move you forward in how to be righteous practically. How can you be holy? This is the objective of God, is to create holiness in me and you.
Mm-hmm.
Holiness is a good thing. I was scared of holiness when I first heard about it. Holiness, oh, what is that going to do to me? That's going to make me strange.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to make me weird. It's going to make me not like anybody else. That's what I'm thinking. Little did I know, holiness makes you whole.
Yes.
And it makes you full.
Yes.
It makes you right. It gives you peace.
Yes.
It blesses you. It's the greatest blessing you can ever have.
Amen.
Is to tend toward holiness. And the more holy you are, the more peace you'll have.
Mm-hmm.
The more whole you will be.
Yes.
You know, people go around in life carrying around heavy baggage.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but they can lay that baggage down if you could just understand what holiness is and how it benefits you.
Yes.
I used to think it was a scary thing, but it's really a beautiful thing.
Yes, it is.
You know why? Because God is holy.
Yes, he is. Amen.
Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. The songwriter said he is thrice holy.
Yes.
You see, and holiness is a good thing. So faith in the promises of God is going to make you feel better. It's going to make you think better. It will make you look better. Now, so some of us might want to perk up and hear this now. How can I look better? Well, you're going to look better because you don't have a load, a mental, eternal, emotional load inside, and it'll show up on your countenance. I want anything to make me look better. I don't know about you.
I do too.
It's a big job. I mean, I just got a long way to go here. But the Lord is able. He's able to do that. Amen. So we want to talk about that just a little. And then also, what about the Jews? Are they the Jews only chosen? Are they the only chosen people of God? You know how the Bible says they are the chosen people of God. Well, let's listen here as Paul addresses these and other thought-provoking lessons in this new portion of Scripture. Now, this actually started in chapter 3. Back in chapter 2 and 3, Paul started talking about what advantage does the Jew have over the Gentile. And he has thought about it well because his heart is broken over the fact that his people that he was raised with all his life, taught him from a child, all these things that the Jews did, rituals and the law, were all lost. He knew it because he was lost. And Christ revealed himself to him on the Damascus Road. So when we come to this first section in Romans 9, Paul says, I say the truth in Christ, I lie not. My conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost that I have a great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart, for I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen according to the flesh, who are the Israelites. Now notice these accolades. To whom pertaineth the adoption. God adopted them to be his own people. See that? The glory. He led them by his glory, by a pillar of fire and a cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. The glory of God was present in the temple and in the tabernacle in the wilderness. It was a glorious illumination of the presence of God every time they set up camp. God would come and inhabit their praises, and his glory was all around them. See that? So, and then also the covenants. God made all the promises to the Israelites. Also, the giving of the law. He gave the law through the Israelites, through Moses, and through the prophets.
Yes.
You see that? And not only the law, but the service of God. They were the only one worshiping the true God correctly.
Amen.
Other people were making sacrifices and doing all kinds of things to other gods because they knew they needed to worship. They had an emptiness in them.
Yes.
But only Israel was doing service to the true God.
Amen.
And acknowledging him. To them were made the promises, he goes on to say. Amen. Whose are the fathers? That would be the patriarchs, people like Noah. And actually, Noah is not a Jew. They're not called Jews until three generations after Abraham. So out of the Gentiles they were born, but Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and the 12 tribes are basically the fathers of the faith, or so to speak. And as whom concerning the flesh Christ, the Messiah, came, who is over all God, blessed forever. Amen. Now there's another verse. We mentioned one this morning in Sunday school. This verse clearly says Jesus is God.
Amen.
Don't let anybody trick you by trying to say Jesus is something less than God. The text clearly says, here's another one in addition to the one we looked at this morning, that he is God, blessed forever. Amen. Now he says this. The reasons that Paul has this heaviness in his heart is the same reason you and I ought to have a heaviness in our heart for anyone that's lost.
Amen. Amen.
Think of, I got folks in my family and it bugs me to think about how they are.
Amen.
Knowing that they could receive a free gift from God and be instantly made holy.
Yes.
Yeah. Holiness is a free gift.
Right.
God gives it to you, positional holiness.
Yes.
The moment you trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and believe that God raised him from the dead, the Bible says you shall be saved. That's a promise from God.
That's right. Amen.
He will cover you in the righteousness of Christ immediately.
Amen.
As soon as you believe. It's kind of like this. I come to the Lord however I am. And I might be tattered and broken. And I say, and not just what I say, but what I believe in my heart.
Yeah.
If I believe in my heart that God raised his son from the dead and allowed him to be crucified for my sin, God takes the righteousness of Christ. And he covers me entirely.
That's right.
Now I'm covered. He doesn't see me anymore. I'm under there. I'm still as filthy as I was the day that I called on his name.
Come on,
man. But he covers me.
That's right.
And when he sees me, he sees Jesus.
That's right. Amen.
That's what he
said. And that's free. God does that for you. Jesus paid the bill already.
That's right.
So he covers you.
Mm-hmm.
And now you know what? He's still concerned though, because now you're covered in righteousness.
Yeah.
Perfect righteousness.
Yes.
And he starts to clean up the mess that's going on inside of there.
Yes.
He starts to wash you up.
Yes.
And fix you from the inside.
Mm-hmm.
He loves you that much. I'm going to cover you so I don't see it, because I'm of too pure eyes than to look upon iniquity.
That's right.
So I'm going to cover you with the blood of my son.
Yes.
So all I see when I look at Landis Fisher is not that wretch that he really is.
Yes.
But I see my son.
That's right.
Jesus.
That's right.
And I love him.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. He pleased me and everything he did.
Mama,
I don't see any of that stuff going on in there.
Yes.
I choose not to see it.
Thank you, Lord.
God says, I choose to cover you.
Yes.
In my righteousness. You are perfect and spotless just like my son.
Thank you, Jesus.
Then on the inside, he also doesn't only cover you on the outside. If I could do it, I would say he also opens you up and fills you up on the inside.
All right.
So you're covered inside and out.
Glory, hallelujah.
You're covered out here, but he's also filling you on the inside.
Yes.
So you know what? You're sandwiched in between holiness. The Holy Ghost is on the inside.
Yes.
The covering of the blood is on the outside. You got to change.
Yes.
You can't stay like you are. You can't stay.
No way.
You know what? When you looked at this word, just like Saul of Tarsus, he going, oh, that the way I got to get rid of them, he could see, well, says, cut the heads off and stone them to death.
Mm-hmm.
He was reading evil stuff, getting evil stuff out of here.
Yes.
But the fact is, when God got a hold of him,
yes,
and showed him his son,
yes,
filled him with his spirit,
yeah,
now he could look in here and see, wow, you know, I'm way out of order.
Yeah.
You see, that's why he says, I speak the truth in Christ, I lie not.
Yes.
My conscience also bearing me witness, yeah, in the Holy Ghost. You see that? That I have a great heaviness and a continual sorrow in my heart. Because I know how far off all these people are, and all they have to do is come to the Lord.
Yes.
And he will cover them. He will fill them with a spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And he will cause them to have a conscience that hates sin.
Yes. Amen.
And loves righteousness. Even though their behavior may be jacked up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's the one thing. But he's going to fix your jacked up behavior. He's going to make you not be happy with it like he's not happy with it. He's going to fix you where you will get some strength against those things that you're doing that are not according to his will.
That's right. Amen.
And he will strengthen you so that you don't like yourself inside. You know, that's what he said in chapter 7. And you might think, that might not be good if I don't like myself. Well, there's some stuff about me I ought not like.
All right. Amen.
You see? And I'll start to see the good stuff that he's doing, and I'll begin to like that more and more. And I'll start to do more of the right stuff. And I'll be convicted against that stuff I need to leave alone anyway. It's been causing me unhappiness, been breaking up my family and my home and messing up my job and all kinds of stuff going on because of that stuff. He'll fix it where you begin to get rid of that stuff. And so this guy here knows, the one who's writing this, and now he can look at his whole dimension, everything about all the folks he knows, and he's hurt, he's broken in his heart. Think about that. Mm-hmm. Now that's the way we ought to be. When we go out and evangelize, realize what God has for these people is the same thing he has for you.
Yes.
That he gave you. We're not better than them.
Amen.
They just haven't heard and understood.
That's it.
Once they hear and understand, then they will receive the righteousness of Christ. Mm-hmm. They'll get immediate joy.
Yes.
Immediate peace. Mm-hmm. Immediate understanding. The word will start to come clear, and they will begin to be sanctified. So notice what he said now. All of that stuff God gave through the Jews, so they are special people. That's why they're still there now. Think about all the people who hate the Jews. All the people around them, Iraq and Iran, and different people all hate the Jews. Why is that? Because God separated them, and he has them there for a special purpose. It's like a little powder keg in the midst of all these powerful nations. They aren't going anywhere, let me tell you now. America is starting to change disposition toward the Jews. But we better watch it, because the Bible says when all the nations of the world are mounted up against Jerusalem, he says, look up, because your redemption draws nigh. So this is God has given us Israel to be a timepiece to of prophetic things that are going to happen in the world.
Amen.
So you can keep an eye on Israel, and you better know that when, if stuff gets hot around Israel, look up, because there's going to be, you know, that's when we know God is going to move in.
Amen.
Even though they don't believe, look at that.
Yes.
Look at the mercy of God.
Wow.
They're sitting over there now, 90% of them don't believe that Jesus is Messiah.
That's right. That's right.
You see? And so we have to be careful how we handle Israel. Now, Saul knows that. I'm calling him by his old name. Paul, the apostle, he knows that. Notice this as he says here in verse 6, not as though the word of God hath taken none effect, for they are not all Israel which are of Israel.
Yes.
Now that almost sounds like a twisted statement. They're not all Israel. Now, I could say it about the church. Not everybody in the church is of the church.
Right. Amen. Amen.
There's folk who come to church, but they are not the church.
Yes. Amen.
They are not those who trust strictly in Christ alone. See, they are not them who promote the gospel of Christ only.
Yes.
There's a lot of different agendas in so-called churches. We have to look out for this.
That's right. Amen.
You know, just because you're in the church doesn't mean the church is in you,
Amen.
Or that you are the church.
Come on.
The church is a human facility that God occupies by the Holy Spirit.
That's right. Amen.
He lives in the living stones of the church, which are built upon the cornerstone of Jesus Christ, his son.
Amen.
And God is continuing to bless and build the church in spite of what people say. A lot of things are going on in the name of the church.
Amen.
And we have to be careful that we look out for these things.
Yes.
We don't want to get sucked up into the vacuums of some kind of a system that's not really what God has called for.
Amen.
And so we want to be very careful. So not all Israel is Israel, is what he said. Why? Because you got people who were born of Abraham, and we're going to look at that lineage just a little. We won't have a whole lot of time this morning, and I guess we'll be just working on this since we got construction in the midweek. But we want you to know that you want to make sure you are the genuine article.
That's right. Amen.
That's something each of us must do individually.
Amen.
We must examine ourselves. We looked at that.
Yes.
And make sure we're on target. We want to make sure that what we're believing is what God said.
Amen.
In his word. We don't want to be tricked by any hucksters or anybody trying to pull something over us and all of that kind of thing. We want to go by the original and true word of God.
Amen.
Now notice this. He says neither, verse 7 of Romans 9, they are the seed of Abraham. It says, neither because they are the seed of Abraham are they all children. Now, why does he say that? Because look at all the descendants of Ishmael. God bless them. Look at all the descendants of the sons, the six sons of Keturah in Genesis 25, which was Midian, Ishbak, Shua. He names off six other sons that she had. And those are of the seed of Abraham in the flesh. But only those, as he goes on to say, notice this, they're not all of the seed of Abraham are they all children, but in Isaac he specifies a certain son of Abraham. In Isaac thy seed shall be called. In Isaac shall thy seed be called. See, so only the descendants that came through Isaac, and we know that even not all of them are believers. See, so it's a very interesting thing how God selects people. If you trust Christ, it's because God selected you. John 15:16 said, you did not choose me, but I chose you. And I ordained you that you might go forth and that you might bear much fruit. So God selects. His selective process has nothing to do with the flesh. Nothing. Now, I could show you all through the Word. We're not going to do it this morning. Where anybody who believed, whether they were a Jew or not, God saved them. I'm going to give you a couple of examples. How about Rahab the harlot?
That's right.
She was not a Jew. She heard about the mighty God of Israel. She believed in him. She got saved. Her and her household.
Amen.
What about Ruth the Moabitess?
Yes.
We could go on and on. She was a Moabite, cursed tribe, because they came against Israel, but she held on to Naomi with all her might, and she was saved. What about Tamar? We could go on and on and on, naming people. How about Naaman the Assyrian, who came in down from Assyria and was washed in the Jordan River seven times, and came up clean. His flesh was whole. He trusted in the God of Israel. We could talk about the widow at Zarephath. We could go on and on and on and on, talking about Gentiles, and they're right in the Word. And the Jews ignored this, and they just thought that only because we are of Abraham are we saved. It had nothing to do with that at all. It had to do with, do you have faith? Have you trusted in God's promises? Have you believed and held on? That's why Isaac is the child of promise. He's the one who was impossible for to be born. Look at Genesis 18. Let's back up here at this point. It says, and they said unto him, where is Sarah thy wife? This is two men. Well, actually, these are three angels who have come down. They come down to bring judgment to Sodom and Gomorrah in Genesis 18. And they stop off to tell Abraham, because they said, I need to let him know what's about to happen. And they came to tell. Now, that's a good thing. You know, when stuff is about to happen, God lets his people know.
Amen.
I'm not expecting us to be in darkness when there's about to be a cataclysmic judgment coming up on the world.
Yes.
I'm expecting that God will let us know. Just like he did here in this case. It says, and they here are the presence of God who have come in three. Some people say it's a theophany of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit coming to visit Abram. Here. And they said unto him, where is Sarah thy wife? And he said, behold, in the tent. And he said, I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life. And lo, Sarah, thy wife, shall have a son. And Sarah heard it in the tent door which was behind him. And now Abraham and Sarah were old and well stricken in age. We might say they were over the hill. If you will. Saying, I should. And so they were well stricken in years, is the Hebrew metaphor here that's used to talk about their age.
Yes.
And then it goes on to say, and it ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. In other words, she was not functioning. Her female reproductive organs had ceased to function.
That's right.
We could say.
That's true.
See that? She'd been through menopause, we might say, in the modern language, and then was out of the childbearing age and stage of life.
Yes, she was.
And therefore, Sarah laughed within herself. We'd say, got to be kidding. Are you pulling my leg? Are you kidding me, as we hear them say today? No way, Jose. She's thinking in her mind. Okay? And so then it says, and shall I of surety bear a child which am old? You know, this is really comical. You know, we've been married since you were long ago, and you were 75, and now it's 25 more years later, and nothing happened. So this is what's in our mind, perhaps, and I'm exaggerating a bit. Verse 14, is anything too hard for the Lord? The question was asked.
Hello.
And at the time appointed, I will return unto thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. Look at that. Because it doesn't make any difference how stuff looks to you.
That's right.
It can look like it won't work anymore.
That's
it's
right.
Over. It's done. It's too late.
Yeah.
These are the kind of things we say.
Uh-huh.
But if God said it, guess what? He is able to do what he promised.
Yes, he is.
If God said it, it's done. It's a done deal.
That's right.
And at the appointed time, he says, I will return according to the time of life. And Sarah shall have a son. Then Sarah denied, saying, oh, I didn't laugh. And she tried to shine it off, for she was afraid. And said, nay, but thou didst laugh. She did laugh. See? So sometimes we have issues sometime with the Lord. I'm hoping that lesson like this will strengthen your faith and cause you to take a stand,
yes,
even when it doesn't look like what you're thinking is coming through.
Mm-hmm.
Trust God a little further than you ever did.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
I want to ask you to do that this week.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Trust him a little further.
Yeah.
There might be some things coming to you this very week,
yeah,
that look like this is impossible.
Mm-hmm.
And we see it all the time. I'm going to have to say, my wife and I, we sit and wonder about certain circumstances, and boom, God manifests something. It looks like it came out of nowhere.
Yeah.
And you just don't know how he does it, but he keeps doing it.
Yeah.
And so we trust him. We love him.
Yes.
And so go another little notch further than you normally would, trust in the Lord.
Amen.
Now that's what Paul's talking about here when he says that, as we looked at that, it says in that last verse in Romans 9, for this is the word of promise. See that? When God makes a promise to you, he is well able to keep it, even if it looks like he might be late.
Yeah.
He's going to be right on time.
All the time.
So we want you to understand that understanding God's relationship to Israel is essential to understanding the extent that God went through to secure salvation for all the families of the earth, according to the promises that he made to provide it.
Amen.
You know, he told Abraham from the very beginning, get thee out of thy country and out of thy father's house and away from thy kindred, and come into a land that I'll show thee. I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. I will bless him that blesseth thee and curse him that curseth thee. And in your seed all the families of the earth shall be blessed.
Amen.
This was before there were any Jews. Have you ever thought about it? So he was saying all the families are going to be blessed. But I'm going to do the work through you. And the people haven't even been born yet. You haven't even had any kids yet. You don't even have any seed that works.
Yes.
You've been trying a long time and it looks like you're going nowhere.
Mm-hmm.
You're old and it's past time you can ever do anything. He didn't say all that, but that's the facts of the situation.
Uh-huh.
But I'm going to do this through you.
Yeah.
You just obey me. And the Bible says in Genesis 15:6, Abraham believed God.
Yeah. That's right.
Yeah.
So that's what we want to ask you to do today. Believe God.
That's right. Amen.
And believe God sent his son. This is the seed of Abraham, is Jesus Christ.
Yes.
And he spared not his own son. We read that last week and the week before last in Romans 8, that he who spared not his own son, how shall he not also with him freely give us all things?
Yes.
If he gave us his best,
yes,
why would he hold back something that's less?
That's right.
You know what else is less than Jesus? Everything.
That's right. Amen.
Or anything, we might say. So is he going to hold back anything, and he already gave you a son?
Yeah.
Think about that. That's so awesome. It's unbelievable. It's just, it's believable, but I mean, it's just deep, and it's awesome. He already gave you a son. So what else you need? What do you need? What do you need to get my work done? I told you what work to do, what you need. See, that's where we're at there. And he told him all the families of the earth. That means Gentiles, Jews, yes, Greeks, whoever you want to name. Name somebody.
Mm-hmm.
This gospel is to be preached in all the world for a witness, and then the end shall come.
That's right.
So Romans 9 through 11 reveal the heart of Paul, who was the reluctant Jewish convert, I've called him, because at first he didn't believe or get it, and he was against it.
Yes,
he hated it.
Yes, he did.
So he was reluctant to receive it, but once he did, he was the most vocal advocate of the gospel of anybody that you have ever seen.
That's right.
Wrote half of the New Testament.
That's right.
See? Because God was able to use him once he got him on the same side with him. So who is now under serious anguish as he realizes that the Jews who reject Christ are spiritually blinded by the devil, like he used to be, and therefore are not saved in like manner as we ought to be over others today in the same condition, whether Jew or Gentile. Because the gospel is complete now. We ought to feel anguish and brokenness in our heart when there are people who are not saved. You know, and if we're not, we're not thinking right. Think about it. People who are not saved, the message you have received can fix them too. Mm-hmm. It's just like I did the other day when I told you there was a, if you had the antidote to a disease and you knew that if I take a sip of this, I'm good, what would you do? Sip it and then put it away?
No,
you probably find everybody you can find. Here, take a sip. Take a sip. You'd be wanting to go around passing it out.
Mm-hmm.
See, that's the way we ought to be about this good news about Christ.
Amen.
Passing it out, because that's all we need to do. And that's what he told us to do, go into all the world and teach.
Yes.
All the nations.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and it doesn't make any difference whether they're Jew or Gentile. The original promise was for all the families of the earth.
Yes.
Black, white, colors don't mean nothing.
That's right. Amen.
Don't make it make no difference. This ought to be multicultural, filled with all kind of folks.
That's right. Amen.
You see, because it's the gospel. It's for the whole world.
Yes.
Had to be careful about one-sided theology where people want to, you know, say, oh, this is all for the black man. No, wrong gospel. That's not the gospel of Christ. The gospel of Christ is for human beings.
That's right. Amen.
Period.
Amen.
Don't let somebody twist you with that. We're not the only people who've been enslaved.
That's right.
A lot of people have been enslaved.
That's right. Amen.
And they can all be made free, but God has one way to fix everybody.
One way.
So believers in Jesus Christ are saved by believing God's promises.
Yes.
Through faith in his promises, yes, just as it is written, the patriarch Abraham who believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness.
Yes.
See that? God accounts you with righteousness by faith when you believe.
Right.
So if you're here today and you are not saved, we want to offer you the invitation to come at this time.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Realize it is a free gift. It's already paid for. Jesus paid it all.
Yes, he did.
And all to him we owe.
Yeah. My Lord.
Sin had left a crimson stain, but he washed it.
Mm-hmm.
As white as snow. If you're here today,
my Lord,
and you are not saved, we want to offer that invitation first for anyone who may not be saved. Or if,
yes.
And we know that it's a tender moment. But we thank God for you, whoever you are, and we want to make sure we teach you.
Amen.
How to understand.
Amen.
The word is filled with a lot of things, and they're easier to understand once you're saved.
Uh-huh.
And they're possible to understand when you're not saved.
That's right. That's right.
But once you're saved, we can teach you.
Mm-hmm.
So we ask you to come.
Come to Jesus. Come to Jesus.
Amen. We see that there are none. We want to also extend an invitation to those who would like to make St. Timothy your church home. Perhaps you are saved and you want to make St. Timothy your church home. We ask you to come at this time. We have plenty of space. And if we need more space, we'll do something about that as the time comes. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Holy trust,
my Lord.
Just now,
my Lord.
Come to Jesus.
Glory, hallelujah.
Just now, come to Jesus.
Amen. You can come at this time. Anyone who would like to become a member of St. Timothy, we invite you to come at this time.
Glory, hallelujah. My Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
He is able. He is able. Come to Jesus.
Thank you.
Amen. We have some very, very special people to meet who are here today. Amen. I have two of my daughters.
Amen.
And two of my grandsons.
Amen.
So we thank God for them coming at this time. And sister. The Apostle Paul getting a little break from some of his people coming. Because it's a good thing when you know your own family is coming, especially if they're saved already. Even the young ones like Jason and Raymond, when they come, they can be trained up in the way of the Lord. Learn what the significance of baptism is, how they can be servants. So we thank the good Lord for them. We're going to extend the right hand of fellowship to those who are saved. Would you like to have any words, either of you? Without any further delay, we'll go ahead and offer to these the right hand of fellowship. We'll start the youth in training so they can be trained about baptism.
Yes.
And when they are ready, we will baptize them.
Amen.
So we extend unto you the right hand of fellowship and the right hug.